Chapter 2. "Would you like a drink, Charlie?" General Wilson asked when they were inside the Magnolia House. "Under the circumstances, I'm going to allow myself to have one. And I might even allow my dear friend General Crenshaw here a little taste." "Indeed I would," Castillo said. "I have been a good boy all day, and it's been a very long day. And I just drove past the Daleville Inn, which triggered a flood of not at all unpleasantly lewd and lascivious memories." Niedermeyer came into the living room carrying a DirecTV dish antenna. "You want a drink, Jamie?" Castillo said. "Wait till I get this thing up, sir. What I need now is a stepladder or a chair so I can stick this thing on the roof."
"Try the kitchen," General Wilson said, and pointed, then asked, "DirecTV?"
Niedermeyer looked at Castillo for guidance. Castillo nodded. "Actually, sir," Niedermeyer said seriously, "I have a much better one, but it says super-duper top-secret Delta Force satellite antenna, and the colonel won't let me use it. He says it makes people curious." The general chuckled. "It took only a couple of small modifications to this," Niedermeyer said. "Mostly the installation of a repeater, so we don't need the coaxial cable to connect to the box. I ought to be up in a minute or two."
"Need any help, Jamie?"
Castillo said. "No, sir, thank you."
Richardson came in as Castillo, Crenshaw, and Wilson touched glasses.
"Your man is installing a cable TV dish on the roof," Richardson announced. "And any minute now, we can get Fox News," General Crenshaw said with a straight face. Castillo chuckled, and Richardson shot him a look, wondering what that was about. Then Richardson turned his attention back to the general.
"Sir, the field-grade OD has been advised of the truck coming from Bragg. They'll be expecting it at the gate, and there will be an MP escort to guide it to the MP impound lot, where it will be under guard until Colonel Castillo tells me what he wants to do with it."
"First thing in the morning, Randy," General Crenshaw said, "go out to Hanchey Field and take over a hangar large enough for 4 H models. Arrange for the MPs to guard it, then move this equipment into it. That sound about right, Castillo?"
"Yes, sir, that sounds fine."
"Sir,"
Richardson said, "am I to sign a receipt for this equipment?"
"Good question," Castillo said. "I didn't think about that. Well, when the truck gets here..."
He stopped as Niedermeyer came back in the house, then went on. "Niedermeyer here will happily get out of bed and sign for it. Right, Jamie?"
"The stuff from Bragg?"
Castillo nodded. "Tonight it goes into an MP lot. In the morning, Colonel Richardson will have him moved to a guarded hangar at Hanchey, one of the airfields."
"Yes, sir. Am I going with you tomorrow, sir?"
"You and the magic box."
"Sir, it might be a good idea if we had our own wheels."
"I didn't think of that," Crenshaw said. "What would you like?"
"Sir, vans are pretty inconspicuous, and I don't think we need a driver."
"Randy?" the general said. "I'll have one here in 15 minutes, sir."
"This should take me about 90 seconds, sir," Niedermeyer said to Castillo and walked out of the room.
Richardson walked to a telephone on a credenza, took a small notebook from his pocket, found what he was looking for, and dialed a number.
"Colonel Richardson, Sergeant. General Crenshaw desires that a van be sent immediately to the Magnolia House. A driver will not be required."
"Yes, Sergeant. I'm aware that it's unusual, but that is the general's desire."
He listened a moment and said, "Thank you," and hung up.
"For Christ's sake, Righteous, you're a lieutenant colonel. You can give orders for a lousy van all by yourself. You didn't have to hide behind Crenshaw's stars."
Castillo caught General Wilson's watching eye.
"And I wasn't lost on him, either."
"A van has been laid on, sir," Richardson announced.
"Thank you."
Niedermeyer walked back into the living room and handed a handset to Castillo.
"They say 25 feet max with no wire, but give it a try."
Castillo looked at the handset, saw H.R. Miller, Jr. on its small screen,
pushed the loudspeaker button and said, "So, I shamed you into not taking off early?
Where are you, Charlie?"
"In Magnolia House at Rucker. And guess who's with me?"
"No thanks."
"General Wilson and Randy Richardson."
"You're on loudspeaker?"
"Yeah."
"Good evening, sir. Dick Miller, sir." "Hey, Righteous. How they hanging?"
"Hello, Dick," General Wilson said. "Good to hear your voice."
Restraining a smile, Wilson added softly to General Crenshaw,
"That's Dick Miller's son. He's also a classmate of Randy's."
"Hello, Miller,"
Richardson said without enthusiasm. "Anything happen?" Castillo asked.
"I made the deposit to the bank where you were earlier," Miller said. "That airplane's back from you know where. The pilot thereof is crashing in suburbia. He says, if you need to go anywhere in the next 24 hours, take a bicycle. The co-pilot's on his way you know where, and the plane that took him will bring J. Edgar Hoover, Jr. back here. That's about it. In the morning, I'm going to Mississippi to see the ambassador, then back here."
"How are you going to get to Mississippi?"
"I rented a T-206H.
"You'll be flying right over what used to be Pascagoula and Biloxi."
"Yeah, I guess. I've been watching that on the tube right now. Incredible. The storm surge picked up a couple of those floating casinos and dumped them 200-300 yards, maybe more, inland. There are slot machines all over."
"No damage at Rucker?"
"I didn't see any. Nothing like that."
"Okay, Chief. Keep in touch."
Castillo pushed the off button.
"I'll hang this up, Jamie. Make yourself a drink. And while you're at it, see what Colonel Richardson will have."
As he left the living room, he heard Richardson say somewhat piously,
"Nothing for me, thank you."